Ja, hallo. My name is Holger Klemmt. I'm working with databases since approximately 35 years. And I try to understand them since 35 years. And I'm still not finished with that. I'm working with the database Firebird approximately since it was the beginning of Firebird. Firebird started the project in the year 2000. So 23 years ago already, but the ancestor of Firebird was called Interbase. And Interbase started already 40 years ago in the year 1983. It was invented by a guy who was, his name is Jim Starkey. I know him personally, he's a very strange guy, but a typical inventor of that time. And he was working for the company RDB Digital. And the product that he was working on was the RDB database at that time. And he tried to explain to the people what a blob is. And since they, the management there said to him, a blob is just a set of lines of 80 characters, he immediately stopped working at that company and founded his own company. In that time it was called Interbase. And one of the biggest customers they first had was the company Boeing. And one of the implementations he was working on in that time was a service management tool for the crew inside the Boeing 747. So when, for example, anything was dirty or something like that, they entered that into a small display. So the database crash had a fully new meaning in that time. when that database crashed, it was really a crash often. Firebird was then invented after the company Interbase was bought by Borland. I think some of you will also remember Borland, Turbo Pascal and so on. Then Borland had the wonderful idea at the end of the last year 1000 that they wanted to open source a product, and then they started to open source Interbase. And Interbase was as open source published in end of 1999, begin of 2000. And then it was restarted by a independent group of people who started that project at that time. And it was really, from my perspective, a real success. I'm doing a database consultant in the Firebird area since more than 30 years already, also mainly based on Interbase and then on Firebird. And I can also talk about some really interesting customers. For example, if you are a European patent lawyer, you have to use a software that definitely needs to install a Firebird server on your machine. Otherwise, you cannot work as a patent lawyer. A lot of doctor software is also created based on the Firebird database engine. The good thing is, so many people do not know that it even exists. I think a lot of you also never heard of that before, that it's really usable. But perhaps you have already indirectly used it since a lot of times. One of the biggest customers that we personally have as a company is, for example, the Café Extrablatt Café Barcelona Group. They have approximately 200 restaurants, and in each of these restaurants there's a Firebird server locally, because they also want to work on their machines and on their data without a working internet connection. And a working internet connection is not always 100% guaranteed. Definitely not in Germany and almost never on this planet, as you know. I will go in a short quick start for you, just to give you an impression why Firebird is perhaps a really interesting database also for other projects, where they're not yet really good known. The current version of Firebird, the current stable version, is Firebird 4.0, but I have implemented that information based on the Firebird 3.0 version, because that is at the moment still a little bit more documented, and both versions are really good to work with. Some words about the Firebird licensing scheme. I think any one of you already know the licensing of MySQL, for example, from the past, which was first bought by Sun, then bought by Oracle, nowadays by Oracle, they charge you a lot of money on whatever you do with that. And this will never happen with Firebird, because Firebird has a Mozilla-style license. Nobody can ever have a right to have a specific source code on that machine, on that functionality. This makes it also easy for you to implement your software together with Firebird and distribute it anywhere where you want. So that is one of the reasons, especially from the area where Borland was coming from. Borland in 1995 invented the programming language Delphi as an ancestor of Turbo Pascal. And in that time, one of the products they implemented in the first Delphi versions was Interbase. And this is also one of the reasons why a lot of specific software for specific businesses are still using Firebird as a backend, because they invented partly software for very specific environments. I know, for example, there is a nuclear company somewhere nearby northern Germany. They have requirements for their software nobody else will have on that planet, and so they write their own software for that environment. So they really need to have information there that nobody else will have. So there's no standard software on that planet. And they also started that part of the software together with Firebird as a database and Delphi as a front end. There are a lot of other software packages still working with Firebird. And one of the good things in Firebird is it's extremely stable. It's available on Windows. It's available on Linux. It runs almost on all currently working Windows versions. Firebird, the newest version, has even no problem to start on Windows 7. And the old version, Firebird 1.0 from 23 years ago, can also be installed without a problem on the newest Windows versions, 11. So you do not have to think about that on desktop environments. And in the Linux environments, you just have some things to do with some specific libraries, but it's not really a big deal. Firebird has, for example, an APT, a package for the Ubuntu Debian area, and can also be installed as an RPM. And it is really a one-line installation. It's not really complicated. The only thing that you have to think, if you change anything in the Firebird environment, you have to publish your source code. Okay, that's the good thing in open source worlds. Installing Firebird is really simple on Windows. There's a fully functional setup exe. If you ever have seen, for example, a setup for Oracle or for Postgres, I think also the setup is not really comfortable, because you sometimes have 50, 60 checkboxes to think about what you want to have. Firebird is more or less, also with the Windows setup exe, a one-time click event on that page. You just have to use the default settings and it will work for you immediately. They have a much more flexible zip file installation. When you want to distribute Firebird together with your software on Windows machines, it's really easy. You just have to call a one-line command line and the Firebird server will be installed and fully functional working. The service will be installed, everything will work automatically. You can also use that, for example, when you have a machine where it's already a Firebird server installed. One of the things where we know customers is in insurance software for independent insurance agents. The best one I ever met was installing, I think, 11 or 12 different versions of Firebird on his machines. And all the programmers were not thinking about what are the requirements. Every time when he wanted to work with a specific piece of software, he had to reinstall that software so that their Firebird server is working. And that was really a stupid idea. With the zip file, it would be really easy to have a parallel installation, because you can have also 10 different versions on the same machine installed without any problem. And you do not have to think about that anyone else will have a newer version later, or you have to work on an old version or a different sysdba name. Linux has for a lot of versions packages available. You can directly install that from APT, for example, but it's not always the newest version. So recommended is often simply go to firebirdsql.org and download it. I will show it to you a little bit later if we have time enough. Currently recommended using Firebird when you start with Firebird is the version 4.0. 3.0 is also okay. 2.5 is outdated and has some disadvantages in their architecture. I will talk about later a little bit about that. And as I said already, a Windows version can run on Windows 7 or Windows 2008 server, and there's no need to update that if your software works. The very funny thing in IT business, never touch a running system. If something works, do not touch it. And on Windows machines, you will not have the chance because you get updates without wanting that. And afterwards, no longer anything works. But that's a different version. One of the customers also used the Interbase software in that time. It was not only Boeing, it was also the US Army. The so-called M1 Abrams tank is also known for using the Interbase database because they have some big disadvantage inside the tank. If you use a gun, you have electromagnetic impulse inside the tank. Every computer inside the tank will crash in that moment because of the antenna effects on that computer, and it has to restart. The problem was they started a comparison between Oracle and Interbase in that time. And there was a really funny story about that, why the US Army used Interbase in that time. Because the problem was, in a kind of story which was a little bit fake, but really funny in that time, they said it was impossible to have an Oracle database administrator inside the tank also. And he was running at the back of the tank together with his keyboard in front of his back, belly, and was walking behind the tank. It was not a good idea. In reality, I was talking on that project to some people from US Army who were responsible for that on a conference, in a bowling conference in 1998 in USA, and they were also really funny guys. Every question I was asking, they were answering, okay, when I have to tell it to you, I have to shoot you. But the reason was that. And then they explained everything. It was really funny. It was in San Diego, and they wanted to come with an M1 Abrams tank into the conference center, but was impossible because below the conference center, there was a parking deck, and they don't want to have the tank going down to the parking deck. It was a little bit too heavy for that environment. At that time, one of the things that Firebird has is a so-called multi-generational architecture. Multi-generational architecture simply means when you have the Firebird server configured as it is by default, and the server crashes for whatever reasons, there is for 100% on a reliable hardware a fully functional database on the drive. One of the reasons for that is the so-called careful write. Careful write simply means in Firebird, you write always in a way the parts of the database that whenever the writing is interrupted, it is still a valid database. So for example, if you start a new transaction, it goes into the transaction inventory page, says, okay, transaction number whatever is now active, does whatever it does, and the last step that is done is committing the transaction. And when whatever you have done within the transactions is now done in so-called record versions. And this makes Firebird 100% stable. And this is also one of the reasons why Firebird is really often used in medical environments. Because I think a lot of you can already think about what a doctor and a computer together is in relation. They are two different planets. Most of the doctors do not even have an idea what a computer does. And often when the computer does not do what it should do, switch off, switch on. With Firebird, it's no problem. With Oracle, for example, there was a big project that we also had in work with the German press agency, a very big company for newspaper content. And they also had that test. And Oracle always had to rebuild the database while rebooting. Firebird does not do that. Firebird has already a valid database on the database system, on the file system. Oracle had to refresh the database content. And when you really want to make Oracle a little bit angry, while it is repairing the database, restart it again. And when you have, for example, worked with software on laptops, it could be a lot of time that you have to wait until you can work again with that piece of software. And Firebird simply allows that. That's really technically no problem. Server modes. Some of the things are more interesting for older versions of Firebird. The so-called super server, since Firebird version 3 is the number one version. Firebird super server simply means there's one process for all connections, you have a shared cache for all users, and it allows to use any number of CPU cores for the individual connections. Until Firebird 2.5, classic and so-called super classic server was more common, because Firebird 2.5 in super server mode used only one core, which is really stupid on a machine that has, for example, 16 cores or 32 cores or whatever. So they decided to implement a version that uses multiple cores, but the classic or super classic server had also the disadvantage that there is no shared cache. When you have, for example, a product database table, the product database table content is by number of clients inside the cache, and that's really a waste of I/O also. What is extremely interesting is also the so-called embedded version. When you are running a process, also works with Linux, but also especially also in the Firebird Windows area, when you're running a process, an .exe file, and you want to access a database, you do not have to install anything. You just have to distribute a specific set of DLLs. And you can use the fully functional Firebird server with everything Firebird can from that embedded version. So if you, for example, have a downloadable piece of software that is needed in enterprise environments where you really have big problems to install anything, it's really easy, for example, to distribute a piece of software to that company, and nobody has to install anything because it runs already without any installation at all. It runs without any admin rights there. That's also really a nice implementation, and it's really fully functional. Can do everything that a Firebird server non-embedded also can. And the database file has exactly the same binary structure for all versions. So you can also put a database file from embedded on Windows workgroup server on a Linux server without any changes. So the good thing is use Super Server when you have no reason to do others. Installing it on Windows, I will do a little bit of the demos later, because perhaps we run out of time, and when we run out of time, we will have some demos as we can do. Installing on Linux, you will see one line of code, install underscore super server and minus dot sh. Configuration and management. By default, when you install a Firebird server, typically you can leave everything as it is. It is already on a good level, using enough resources from that machine, but it does not need any physical better implementation. I know from a lot of people who always try to make a better config, and sometimes a better config is a stupid idea. The biggest databases that we are working with, I told you already about the restaurant project. In the restaurant project, we are talking about approximately 2 by 3 million new records every day. And it is distributed over a network of approximately 220 restaurants and 10 so-called, we call it Verwaltung server, it's a maintenance servers. The maintenance servers has all data from all restaurants. So we are talking about in that environment of a database size of approximately 500 gigabytes. The biggest database that I'm personally working really often with is approximately 3 terabyte. It is from a really big patent lawyer company in Munich. We know from customers working with 15 terabytes of databases. That is already a level when you think about copying a file of 15 terabytes from one system to another over the network. Congratulations, you will have some time. Even on a 10 gig network, it will take some time. We have several implementations done where we have the replication implemented that we also have implemented for the restaurant business, not based on the Firebird 4.0 available declarative replication. In Firebird 4, you can have a database replicated by the Firebird database system itself to a separate server in a master-slave environment. It also works in a master-multi-slave environment. But since we started the first replication project in approximately 2001 with the German press agency on a very early Firebird version, Firebird 4 was not even visible on the market. Firebird 4 was not even there. So we started to implement a Firebird-based replication internally. The good thing is, in Firebird also, that you have a fully functional transaction system, not only based on the DML, manipulation language, insert, update, delete, but also on the DDL, so-called create table, alter table, drop table. One of the funny things with Firebird is possible when you're working on a Firebird database server with 100 clients and you have to change a table. For example, you have to add a new field. It's no problem with Firebird. Alter table, add whatever. Every client do not have to disconnect for that. It works immediately. Whenever the client will open a new transaction, it will see the new column. If he does not open the new transaction, he will not see the new column. And that's really one of the things that makes it also really interesting. I will show you later a little bit an image to get an image what is possible with Firebird about a very complex database with more than 10,000 triggers, more than 3,000 tables, and so on. And also some other functionalities which I want to talk about. So the most important files are simply Firebird conf and databases conf. You can, for example, change some of the default settings for using memory and so on, but that's not so important if you do not need that. So that is the path where Firebird 3 is installed. And administration tools included is, for example, ISQL. ISQL is an interactive SQL on command line tool. There is no GUI application internally available with the Firebird project. IBExpert is my company that is doing that. That is a software that really gives something like, you can perhaps compare it to Visual Studio or something like that, or Delphi for Pascal language, Visual Studio for C Sharp. That is, for example, IBExpert for Firebird databases. It has a debugger for trigger, for stored procedures, and so on. And we will later have a short review of basic functionality. You will also see it that it runs on Linux Wine also perfectly fine. Using ISQL, this DBA password is always a thing. All older Firebird versions have always master key as a sysDBA password. It was a really strange construction, but it was the way it was distributed. I think when you have, for example, a TCP/IP port, the standard TCP/IP port from Firebird is 3050. When you find a TCP/IP port open on that number, you have a really good chance that you can already connect to that database with this DBA master key already. And it's definitely one of the really stupid things a software manufacturer can do, that he distributes the original software already with the default password. But there are much easier ways to do that without the default password. On Linux, you get asked, what is your master sysDBA password? And you have to enter it yourself. When you still enter master key, okay, that's your problem. Create database command, create table command, I will show it to you a little bit later. Trigger and other objects. We will have a look at the database, at the really complex database a little bit later. Connection strings, we will do the typical connection strings, how they are created. Because a connection string can, for example, have a specific information. A specific connection string can also go directly to the so-called embedded version, or it can use a non-TCP IP-based connection. In that case, it will use a local memory page for that. Connecting to an existing database, you will see that a little bit later. And connecting with ISQL. Connecting with a GUI client and create database options. Management, user management in Firebird. Everything is under user management control. You can create a user. A user does not have rights on any object by default. There is a standard user group, which is called public. And public has all the rights available to anyone, but you can give users or groups, so-called roles, specific rights. We will see that also later. So you are, for example, allowed to work on a specific table when you have select rights, but you do not have insert, update, delete rights. You cannot change anything on that table with that user. Firebird has a technology that we will see also a little bit later, where somebody who connects to the database can, for example, connect to a so-called updatable view. And an updatable view is simply a view is more or less a stored SQL statement inside the database. And an updatable view will give you the chance to create on that view specific triggers, and the trigger will do the insert, update, delete for you. One of the things when you heard about updatable views, I think Postgres is still in the level, Postgres can only have an updatable view on single tables. Firebird can have an updatable view on stored procedures or on multiple joined tables or whatever. You can do whatever you want. When you see, for example, a result set, where the result set is only a subset of your data and you have any changes inside that, you get the new and old value to the trigger, and the new and old value to the trigger can do whatever that you want. And this is really interesting, for example, also to have, for example, in a kind of a company information system, for example, when somebody should only see the data from Northern Germany, you can have a view where he sees the data from Northern Germany, but not from Southern Germany, and he can enter also the data already in the grid mode, and he can change whatever he wants, but he cannot change the Southern Germany because he does not even see that. That's really easy for the front end. And the front end later, for example, can also be implemented based on PHP or whatever. I will show you later a little bit, a very short implementation of a PHP script to do so. DDL basics. As I said already, create, alter, drop commands are also under transaction control. You can drop 10 tables and then say, oops, roll back, was a bad idea. In that case, none of the tables are really dropped. You can also alter a table and do a rollback, or alter a table and do a commit. When there is, for example, a dependency on that table, so for example, from a constraint or something like that, you definitely cannot drop that. That would be no good idea. But this is all under transaction control. Same with technically the metadata and the data. So for example, if you, for example, drop data from a, delete all data from a specific table, I will try to put it in the time that I show you the interesting versioning system from Firebird a little bit in ISQL a little bit later. But we later have a look also at the very big database. DML basics, select, insert, update, delete. Select from stored procs is also possible. A stored procedure can be used, for example, to have a kind of an interface to you, as it looks like it is a simple table data, but it's not in reality table data. For example, you can implement a select from a stored procedure where the data from the stored procedure does not come only from one database, but it comes from 10 different databases. There's a statement also available, execute statement on external. This will allow you inside a stored procedure or inside a trigger or inside a so-called execute block to connect to other databases, get data from there, and put it here into the local result set. We use it very often for really large blob databases. We have a customer who has a software also for accounting company, for insurance companies, insurance agents, and they have an archive of all the documents, all the PDFs from the last 10 years or so. And the biggest customer that we currently know from this company is approximately 1.5 terabyte of data. Only PDFs, only email content and whatever. The problem is, when you're doing a backup on that kind of database, 1.5 terabyte, 99% of that data was already backed up yesterday. It makes no sense. Firebird has some technologies, a so-called end backup, which does only a partly backup, but it makes it a little bit more complicated when you do it in that way, because you always have only end backup will only back up the part of the database that was really changed. For that customer, we implemented another system. We simply have a database for all the PDF and all the documents, one per year. So the main database knows now, I have here a table of all my emails. I know the date from that email. I know it's from 2015. I open the database 2015, and there I look up for the blob data. I do an execute statement on external on that table, put it into a local variable, and show it in my local database as if it would be a local database. The funny thing, the 2015 database is read-only. So the database cannot be changed by any Firebird database at all until it is set by the SysDBA or the owner of the database to be non-read-only. So we do not have to backup the database from 2015 at all, because it will never change. We have a version from 2 years ago, 10 years ago, or whatever, who cares. We do not have to re-backup that again, but it's still in daily use to connect to that database to get the data. And this is also one of the things that allows you the basic architecture already from Firebird. There's no tricks or something like that. No external client is needed. You do a select on a stored procedure. You see the data as it would be. You know, the result looks like it is local data, even if it's not local data. That's also one of the things that is really easy to do so. Backup. One of the funny things also that Firebird allows. I told you already that a transaction that is started in Firebird will have the possibility to read all the data that was valid while the transaction was started. A so-called repeatable read transaction. Repeatable read simply means you have a database where you have, for example, a customer table, you have an invoice table, and you have an invoice that references a customer. When you now do a table-by-table backup on other systems, you might start in the invoice table with customers that did not exist while the customer was already backed up. The Firebird backup simply allows you to run a backup, starts a transaction, and everything that is in that transaction already visible, also in all other tables that were not already looked at, is afterwards in the backup. So that gives you also a possibility to have a 24/7 operation on Firebird without any problem, because you can do a backup really fast and every time you need it. We have some customers where we have also the really big PDF databases where we're doing their main backup from their customer data without the blob data. We are doing that backup every hour while the people are working on that database, while the people are writing on that database, and they do not even know that the backup is running because the backup is running really fast on good machines. good machines is one of the things that Firebird really has, and you have to in mind with Firebird, because we know that a lot of machines, for example, that you can rent somewhere in data centers are not even the partly good machines. If you rent, for example, a Amazon Cloud machine, I was looking at Amazon Cloud PDF file that you get. It is approximately 1,000 pages PDF file that demonstrates you what you have just to pay for. And they say, for example, you pay for a standard machine, and the standard price, you get approximately between 50 and 1,500 IOPS. IOPS, you perhaps heard that, I/O operations per second on the drive. 50 IOPS is approximately, in good old hard disk times, 20 milliseconds operation. That's really idiotic to have that for a database. The best and the most important part that you can buy on that PDF file from Amazon gives you a, I think, approximately 25,000 IOPS. When you go to the next Jakob distributor of hardware and you buy a Samsung 980 Pro M2 SSD, you have approximately 400,000 IOPS on that machine. And when you have them exclusively, you have a really fast database server. When you do not have them exclusively, because you are working on a shared machine somewhere with a storage in minutes ago or in milliseconds ago, you will definitely run into a lot of problems. Real-time backup on that machine with a 50 gigabyte database takes on that server that we have distributed to that company, takes in reality approximately 2.5 minutes. And while people are working on that database, so they have every hour 2.5 minutes, a little bit higher load, but nobody has a problem with that. And then they have a really 100% consistent backup, because we put it directly onto a second machine. We create the backup already on a second machine. We are using the so-called services API. So we just use on the master production machine the reading, and the writing is done on the backup machine. And then after the backup is done, we are doing immediately a restore on that machine to know that the restore is really good working, because it makes no sense to have a backup that is not really usable for a restore. Another technology that is also available in Firebird is a so-called a shadow. A shadow is also one really interesting thing. There's a simple SQL statement: create shadow, then a number, and then a file name. And then you do a commit. What happens in that moment? The file name is a 100% one-to-one copy of the database file. You can also create a shadow in runtime. And when you have the shadow created, for example, on a second drive, and you do the next command, drop shadow one, for example, create shadow one, slash db slash database.shadow, commit, drop shadow one, preserve file is a possibility. In that case, the database will stay there, and it will no longer be a shadow for the master database. You can use it as a database immediately. The create shadow on that machine from that customer was approximately less than a minute for the 50 gigabytes. We have approximately a writing operation of 1.52 gigabytes per second on the drive. But the problem is, with that amount of load on the machine, every user sees that. You will have definitely a lot of I/O load. And every user who knows that now a shadow is running will have to wait for the dialogues that are running on this machine much longer than you would expect. So the shadow is not so performance friendly than the standard backup. But the backup is really a powerful feature of Firebird. And it can also be used in daily business. The Firebird project itself, when you want to download that, simply go to file.sql.org. And I will now get over to a almost already installed machine. I hope you can read that. I think I have a really large setting. But I will go over to a first demonstration on a, even that we perhaps all do not like that, but a good old Windows machine, to show you, for example, what amount of metadata can be implemented in one database already. That is a project that is written by a company nearby Nuremberg, Bayreuth, and it is a fully functional ERP system. And everything inside that business logic is implemented in the database. For example, you have a table which is the delivery sheets and delivery positions. And when you convert a set of delivery sheets to an invoice, it is not done by any client, it is done by stored procedures. And the stored procedures have one big advantage. They have two results. I did it, I did it not. When you, for example, have a set of 10 delivery sheets and you're going with an external client that is not handling the transactions properly, you really often have the problem that 5 of these delivery sheets are now in the invoice, but the other ones are not. And when you try to reactivate that, it could be also a big problem. Okay, let's go to Linux again. Windows doesn't like me. Don't know why. let's go. No, that I do not want to have here a notepad. I want to have a terminal. Sudo. So let's have a look. Yeah. I'm one of the old guys, you remember that. This is, for example, a unpacked version of Firebird 4.0. And here we have, for example, the only thing that we have to start for installing Firebird. Nothing else. Install.sh. Install.sh is a simple setup for Firebird. And afterwards, when we start that, we will have a running Firebird server on that machine. And it will also create for you an uninstall sheet, a shell script that will do the uninstall without any additional stuff. We always recommend to have the Firebird server more or less dedicated, because Firebird does so much I/O on that machines that it's really a bad idea to have, for example, other machines running at the same time. We know from a big project that the German Telecom was doing. They were using Firebird for their back-end system, for the glass fiber system in Germany. There were at Monday afternoon, there were approximately 2,000 to 3,000 users working on one database. And they had a database server that did nothing else than Firebird in that time. And one of the really smart IT management guys said, okay, this database server does almost nothing because he cannot see so much CPU load, because it was really well designed, the piece of software. So he decided to put a kind of a file sharing system, something like Dropbox, on that machine also. Afterwards, we saw on that machine that the Firebird server was almost unresponding at all, but the machine was also connected to approximately 2,000 to 3,000 users, and you can imagine what that means. It was running completely nuts in that moment. The CPU load was 100% of an all cores. The load was incredibly high, because one idiot was thinking about that could be done on that machine, because that machine is already there and that does nothing really special. What Firebird does is not really CPU related. you need much more power on the I/O subsystem, and from my perspective also, in the main speed of the in the highest speed of the CPU. We are using, for example, for the biggest customers, we are using not the 32 core whatever CPU with 2 GHz or something like that. We prefer really simply the i9, 12,000K or 13,000K or whatever they are called at the moment. They are running up to 5.2, 5.3 GHz. And they are doing a lot of memory operations when they should do. And they're doing that in the turbo mode. It's much better for Firebird to have that kind of speed on such a machine rather than have a lot of cores that still have to wait for CPU operations. So I know that we have some kind of time problem, as always. My main problem is when I start to talk about that kind of systems. I always can talk about that approximately I will show you a basic idea that we have implemented in real world. Anyone who have ever used, for example, I think I have to increase this font a little bit. Where is it? Could be a little bit better readable, not really. Okay, so a very basic implementation that we are using in real world is a PHP-based implementation that is here in one line of or in one page of PHP code. So really simple, it's not a perfect style implementation, but you see perhaps a little bit already what is the part that is really here interesting. I open a new PDO connection, type Firebird. Here's a connection string. Here's a username, here's master key as a keyword, password. I start a begin transaction. I do a select, and IBE web, for example, is a stored procedure. The implementation, what I get back from the HTML, what I want for HTML, is simply created by a stored procedure inside the database. When you were also at the previous session here, he was also talking about the basic problem that you have to have some time between the coding and the distribution of code. Think about when you have a really big project and you have to upload all your code to a web server, and you have to upload 1,000 files, for example. Problem is, it takes time. At a specific time, you have uploaded 500 code files and 500 not. And for whatever reason, it could stop there at that moment when you are working, for example, with FTP. It can already work and stop in the middle of the file, and you have half a file uploaded. The cool thing here is everything that this dot procedure now reads from the database is also under transaction control. So we have also, if it's a code file of approximately 10 MB or something like that, you can simply read that from the database And you can, while it is reading in the database from 10 or 100 different web servers, you can change that without any locking conflict. And whenever it is next time read again, it is reread from the newest transaction from the database. And this will allow you in that moment to work on that machine while you are working in real time. We have a project, a software project for a company in Hamburg, where we always work on an ERP system in real time on the database. The funny thing is sometimes when I work at the customer, I do an alter table on the Firebird database and I create a new file for a new reference, for example, a reference to another table. And the table is also already needed in that database, but I forgot to set the correct grants to that new table. And sometimes when we are working there, we are really working on the main machine in real time. We are not doing testing. The testing is done by the real employees. It's a 80 people company. And they sometimes stand afterwards in front of my door there when I'm on site and asking when they are allowed to work again. But they now know already when my car is standing in front of the office, they know that I am there and they know where to go when there's a problem with the software. But that's one of the real good things. You do not need a tester for your software that does the testing somewhere who does not know the daily business. We also do not need them to log out from the database to do our changes. We can do the changes on the database immediately. We have approximately 1,500 stored procedures, 2,000 triggers or so, 500 tables in that database. And we are changing when I'm, for example, mid of August, I will be there at that company again for 10 days. I think we will change in that 10 days approximately at least 50, 60 modules in that database. But we do not need the time for anyone to test that. The testers are the real world people, and they know when the test is going wrong, who's responsible for that, and that's sometimes really funny. It's a little bit different, for example, if you have, for example, a machine that runs, for example, some system like eBay or something like that, where you have already sold something, but it's not shown in the account of the customer. But that customer has also some really serious data, and we still are aware of the problems where the tables are, where we should not do stupid things. But it allows us to work in that way. And that is one of the basic things that we have in the background. We also use for separate parts some HTML parts. And this one here, for example, is a overview. I will give you also access to that part later, after the conference here. That is my IBEWeb stored procedure. So it's really simply implemented. You will see it's extremely easy. And this is the HTML code that is stored inside a database. And the reality is, when we go to a web browser, I think I have somewhere a web browser. This is one of the projects that we are currently working on. So for example, I don't have access because my mobile phone is offline. So the basic idea behind that is, in the previous session I was talking about a possibility to have, for example, Pascal code to JavaScript directly compiled. There's one of the things that is currently under development, but it's already available. It's a command line compiler that takes, for example, JavaScript as you see it here. Now you see it a little bit better. And it can be directly compiled as you see it here. And it will directly run on a second screen immediately. in reality, you see JavaScript there, but you are coding here inside the Pascal script language. And the basic idea behind that is really simple. I do not know if you ever heard about that, code copy. If you have people, for example, who try to learn JavaScript, they also do it in the same way. They have a kind of a tutorial way. They show you simple parts of the declare variables, use variables, what you can do with variables, use functions, and so on. And then you can, for example, directly see what they are doing. And when you see, for example, where is one of the games? It's always the most important part. Mars Attacks. A lot of us will remember that. And we want to have that idea in the same way. They do not have the problem that they have to configure that or convert that from JavaScript to JavaScript, but we do that with Pascal language. And the cool thing is really, it runs here directly. And that is simply the source code you can see here. And that's really one of the things that we also currently working on, not with JavaScript as a script base, but with Pascal language on the script base, but also with a database in the background. And I really would like to have more people understanding and getting the idea what programming means. And from my perspective, entry level of programming is definitely not working under Linux with VI or something like that. That is definitely for a lot of people on this planet a no-go. They try to understand that 5 minutes and then they stop and say, programming is nothing for me. But when you see something like that, that really works based on your 100 lines of code or 82 lines of code, and you completely understand that, that's really funny from my perspective. Okay, if you need anything from us, support@ibexpert.com. No problem. You can directly send an email also to that. I'm definitely still here, I simply show you our website, ibexpert.net. ibexpert.net. So that is our website. And that is my own company. We are working on this GUI tool, basically on Windows, but runs also perfectly fine on Linux with Wine. From today's experience, even better than on Windows, because Windows did not even start at all in a usable version, but who cares? You can directly send to support@ibexpert.com because it's directly me. And if you have some more questions, I think we do not have the time to have the questions here now, but we definitely have the time to chat a little bit from now here outside. Thank you very much for attending. And I hope I can give you some impressions about the Firebird database system.